I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. True confession. I was a little ticked off when the dean asked me to preach this morning. Oh, sure, I feigned enthusiasm in front of him, but the minute I got home, I started complaining so pathetically and persistently that the rest of my family developed an urgent need to go clean out the garage. Good Shepherd Sunday, as this fourth Sunday of Easter is commonly known, doesn't usually stir up much excitement in me. Give me Jesus as the vine, Jesus as the light of the world, even Jesus as the door. Heck, any of those inanimate objects. But Jesus as a shepherd of dirty, wayward animals, well, bah, or rather, bah. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Now I'm feeling a bit sheepish. Nevertheless, you were supposed to laugh louder about that, George, did I? Nevertheless, and that was my last bad joke, I promise. Something hit different for me this year. Something hit different for me this year as I reviewed today's familiar gospel passage. You see, this is my first Good Shepherd Sunday as the mother of a teenager. Stay with me here. This is my first Good Shepherd Sunday as the mother of a teenager. Like many parents desperate for guidance in this new and strange and challenging season of life, I've been reading a lot of how-to books. My current favorite is a title by Jennifer Wallace called Never Enough. When achievement culture becomes toxic and what we can do about it. Among the many concerning trends Wallace reports in this book is a survey showing that 1/3 of today's teens in the U.S. and Canada do not believe their life matters to others. 1/3 of today's teens in the U.S. and Canada do not believe that their life matters to others. Equally disturbing is that 25% of the adolescents in one study felt that their parents hold them in what psychologists call conditional regard. Conditional regard. That is, that their parents' love for them is tied to their accomplishments. You don't have to be a teenager or the parent of one to feel this stuff deep in your soul. Whatever stage of life we are in, it can be easy to wonder, in a culture such as ours, have I done enough? Have I achieved enough? Does the life I am living have intrinsic value? Or is there more that I could or should be accomplishing? Is there, in the end, something definitive I can point to as proof that my life has mattered? And here is what strikes me about this morning's gospel lesson, that at its heart, this is a story. This story about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, this is a story about mattering. This is a story about mattering. It is a story about value and acceptance. It is a story about a love so strong that it gives not one hoot about the worthiness of its recipients. A love that is so invested, a love that is so all in, that, as we learn in another of the gospel shepherding stories, it chooses again and again to risk going after just one wayward loser straggler. A love that does not have to be earned in any way, but that is freely offered. See what love the Father has given us, we heard in last Sunday's reading from the first letter of John. Not awarded, but given. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. If you take nothing else away from this place today, let it be this, that you matter to Jesus. You matter to Jesus. You are a beloved child of God. Your life is of infinite worth. This is not tied to anything you accomplish. On the contrary, one of the most striking aspects of this morning's gospel is that the activity of the sheep is not definitive in any way. The story is not primarily about the sheep and anything they do or don't do. It is the activity of the Good Shepherd that really counts. And we know, don't we, from so many stories throughout the Gospels, that this is the Good Shepherd's favorite activity: bringing home the least, the last, and the lost with completely unconditional regard. Gather up the fragments so that nothing will be lost, Jesus tells his disciples after a big meal one day, talking not only about scraps of bread, but also about that man outside Walgreens holding up his cardboard sign asking if he can work for food. Also about the way you felt the day you learned you had been rejected by your top college choice. Also about the relationship that once held such promise but has now become a source of deep pain and regret. Also about the business decision you made that ended up hurting other people. Gather up the fragments, Jesus says. Gather up the brokenness, the leftovers, the shame, the disappointment, the parts of life you were sure were just trash. Gather all these up so that nothing will be lost, so that none of you will be lost, for you are precious to me, all of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You matter, not because of anything you do, but just because you are. Which is, of course, great good news. We matter. You and I matter. We have inherent dignity and worth. But that's not all, this morning's gospel tells us. That's not all. We matter, and so do they. So do they. I have other sheep who are not of this fold, says Jesus. I must bring them also. Here is the really challenging part of Good Shepherd Sunday: accepting that our rivals our enemies, those whom we resent, those of whom we are jealous, those who to us are the very embodiment of otherness, accepting that they too are the beloved of God, those whom Jesus pursues and enfolds with a relentless love. Archbishop Helder Camara was an outspoken advocate for the poor in his native Brazil and regularly encountered the wrath of the military dictatorship that controlled that country through much of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Once, government officials hired an assassin to go and get rid of him. When the assassin arrived at Camara's front door, an argument ensued. "Go on and kill me," the archbishop said when the other man hesitated. "That's what you've been paid to do, so just go on and do it." "I can't," the would-be killer replied. "I can't do it." "Why?" Camara asked. To which the reply came simply, "You are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. You are the Lord's." I can think of few things more important for us to speak, few words more important for us to embody during this age of seemingly impenetrable enmity and violence in our world. You are the Lord's. You, whose people have hated our people for centuries, you are the Lord's. You, with your abhorrent political views and insistence on shouting down everyone who disagrees with you, you are the Lord's. You, who have always been a success, though sometimes you had to trample over others in the quest to stay on top. You are the Lord's. You who have arrived in this country illegally and are now receiving benefits many people think you do not deserve. You are the Lord's. You who are being told by developers that the community where your family has lived for generations is more valuable to investors than to your sense of self and belonging. You are the Lord's. You who take advantage of the poor with predatory lending practices, you too are the Lord's. You who woke up this morning wondering if it mattered whether or not you got out of bed, you especially are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. This is the Good Shepherd's reminder and challenge to each of us this day. May his loving embrace and acceptance lead us all to green pastures and restore our souls. Amen.